Welcome to the Pure American Podcast, the show where we take a look at what's going on in America or just society in general. And we delve into different topics and hope that y'all will do some research and just kind of think for yourself. It's really what this podcast is for. Like, we are both right-leaning, but we really promote, I don't want to say, like, yeah, thinking for yourself, independent thinking, I guess would be the best way to put it. Because there's a lot of monoliths going around. I think I said that word right. Yeah. Hive mind mentalities going around on the right and the left. So we don't like that. So we are trying to promote independent thinking. And so today we have three things we really want to talk about. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, by the way, Pure American Pod. So I'm your host, Fatty. That's Red Boy. Let's get right into it. Starting off with Antifa.
It's still a thing.
It's still a thing. Never was not a thing.
Just downplayed by the media a lot.
Yeah. I am still sick, so I'm going to apologize in advance. But I think, first of all, I want to get this out of the way, because we are no strangers to calling out right-leaning people, you know, just as much as we'll call out and dog the left. I want to start out by saying I think Antifa is used way too much as a scapegoat by the right for a lot of things. Now, with that being said, Antifa is a very real thing. And a lot of people are like, oh, it's just an idea. No, no, no. It's based off of something, right? It's based off of prior groups. I think it was the Anti-Fascist Action. I probably butchered that. That was around in Germany in like the mid-1900s. Yeah. You know what I mean? Before Hitler and whatnot, or during Hitler. The double flags, as we're all well known and used to seeing now, the logo for them, they are a thing. It's not just an idea.
It's an actual group.
Yeah, and just because it's decentralized, which means this doesn't have like a certain like a so head leader or headquarters, doesn't mean that it's not still a group. I think the best argument you could make, is like something like Christianity. You know what I mean? There's not like one soul.
It's not like the Vatican.
Yeah, because that's Catholic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you could be a Christian, and it's like, that is an ideology, and it's also a, you're a member of a group. You know what I mean?
So Antifa, I mean, yeah, it is, I guess it's an ideology, but the fact that people are like, oh, it's not a group, it's just an ideology. We get anti-fascist as an ideology.
But I'm anti-fascist.
When you label that name on a group of people, you literally made a group known as Antifa.
Right. It's kind of like, in the way I see it, it's kind of like a BLM thing, where it's like, if you go against it, it's like, oh, you're against Antifa, so you're fascist then. No. No. It's like, oh, you don't support Black Lives Matter, then you don't like black people, you're racist. No. That's not what I'm getting at here. That's just kind of abusing the system, I guess, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that's what that is. But anyway, so Antifa is under scrutiny, right? Or it was trending on Twitter. It wasn't under scrutiny because, so we talked about it, I think, prior episodes. There's going to be a committee formed to investigate what happened on January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of GOP lawmakers and, you know, senators, representatives, whatever, blocked that vote. And so everyone's like, oh, if they really believe that Antifa was the cause of it, why would they block it? First of all, I think me and Tristan have given our take many times. I'm just going to reiterate it because we are going to talk about January 6th. We do think that it was not, you know, it's not Antifa in disguise as Trump supporters and every single one of those people in there were you know, Antifa members. No.
In fact, I believe it was a very small amount of people that were Antifa members that just started it, then everyone followed.
Yeah, and it's not even that. Like, I can also definitely hear the argument of one person decides to run through the line, right, and all the other people are following along.
They're like, so, yeah, let's go. This is a great idea.
It takes one knucklehead, you know what I mean, to start a stampede.
But yeah, I mean, statement still stands.
I think that's what happened.
That we mentioned before, and a lot of people didn't want to accept the fact that, okay, whether Antifa was there and started it or antagonized the situation, y'all still followed them. Still followed. Whether it was them that stormed first, the first people to go through was Antifa, or whether the first person to go through was a Trump supporter.
Diehard MAGA fan, man.
Y'all still followed whoever the hell it was, thinking that, you know what, this is how I'm deciding to spend my day.
Yep. And I still believe, first of all, if I'm obviously against the committee. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If they're not going to investigate the summer, which was far more destructive, again, like we've reiterated before.
They're not going to investigate it.
Yeah.
They'd come under way too much fire.
Yep. So that's why Antifa, and again, you can go look, literally just type in on Twitter, the search bar, Antifa, and they'll be going on and on, arguments and arguments upon arguments of what is you know, Antifa is not, it's not a group, man, it's just an ideology. Again, no, if it was just an ideology, you wouldn't have the black block that has the logo of the Antifa organization. And you don't even, I'm going to say organization, whatever, because there's not an organization. The logo for them that they have on riot shields and mm-hmm. stuff like that and flags. If it wasn't a group and it's strictly an ideology, why is there a logo? Why are there flags? And why are they, you know, spray painting that everywhere? And why are they organizing in black blocks? Oh, by the way, you can go ahead and look up Steven Crowder did an interview with Joe Rogan a while back where
I remember seeing that on Facebook.
Him and one of his producers at the time infiltrated a Antifa little wing, really pathetic wing, that they were going to go and try and cause a lot of violence against a Ben Shapiro coming, or not violence, just like some form of, I don't want to say
instigation.
Yeah, they were going to try and counter protest, whatever.
Which always almost leads to violence.
Yeah. And so in order to do this, they had an encryption app and a messaging app, and they were very organized, even though apparently they were all late.
They have, like, Discords and shit, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you can have hundreds of people in one server, and they're just
so,
like,
call it thousands. What you want. I'm calling it an anarcho-terrorist group, I think is a very accurate mm-hmm. description. You know what I mean? And they're smart. They're extremely smart for not having some form of giant organized thing.
They're smart.
It's easier to target.
They're smart, I'll give them that, but they are still just a bunch of pussies.
Yeah. I mean, they're lukewarm smart. I wouldn't say they're intelligent.
Yeah,
half
but
of
I
them
mean,
can't throw a punch.
For a group, like organizing how they want to go about, I guess you could say, their little attacks, their cyber attacks, whatever you want to call it, they're pretty smart for how they organize it and
maintaining decentralization.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's just, dude, I can't take them seriously. If, like, I've seen those protests in person, especially in, like, Portland and everything like that. And it's like, dude, y'all don't scare anybody. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but you don't.
Yeah, no. Anybody who can see through the charade.
My Rottweiler can kick your ass, and she's not even a year old.
But yeah, so that's all we really have to do with Antifa. I'm all for saying that they weren't maybe 100% responsible for the January 6th.
Yeah, I won't say they're 100%.
But to say that they're not a thing and they're just an ideology is stupid. You need, in order for them, like, you have to identify them as a real thing because they are a real thing. They're a very real thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you can see that clearly. You know, I don't know a bunch of random people who aren't organized who all show up wearing black attire with the same logo on shield, spray painted, you know what I mean? Like
face covered.
Yeah, that all are organized in that manner. You don't see that without some form of group or organization or some form of funding behind it. So that still remains a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
But keeping in the realm of Black Lives Matter
and advocacy,
you have something a little bit ironic.
Yeah, kind of a very ironic. So Sasha Johnson is one of the leaders of BLM. She says that she's an activist and all this.
She's
so,
leader of the UK division, wasn't she, or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, London. And, well, I wouldn't say that she's like from London or anything like that. I need to fact check that. But yes, London is where this incident happened.
She's from the UK. I have to look.
I believe so. Yeah, she's British. But so Sasha Johnson, a couple days ago, she was shot in the head. And before, let me get this out of the way, I in no way agree with the violence that was acted upon her. I know Zach feels the same way. She should not be fighting for her life inside of a hospital because of someone else's actions. But, as always, she is a black female, and whenever something like this goes down, Twitter goes berserk because they're still trying to find the culprits, I guess you could say, or the people who did shoot her. And so everyone, what did they do? They went straight to blaming the white man, folks. like every goddamn time.
There was a certain somebody who tweeted something out.
Yeah, I have it pulled up. So I don't know who this person really. Oh, let me just look right here. Diane Abbott, member of Parliament for Hackney North and Stock Newington.
Why are there so many words for, like, it's like, not gonna lie. Like, okay, one of my favorite power or strongmen is Eddie Hall, right?
Mm.
And this isn't a jab. This has nothing to do with it, right? But he's from a place called Stoke-on-Trent. What is it with the UK? If you're a UK listener.
It's a lot of vowels.
Yeah, and there's like, it's like three different places with dashes. Or what is it technically? Hyphens?
Hyphens.
It's like Stoke-on-Trent. Or wherever you just said. What is with that? Is it like the crossroads? Where the roads meet?
I don't know.
That was a weird tangent. Sorry, continue on.
But Diane Abbott, she also lives in Hackney, London. She's some sort of political figure, I'm guessing. But she tweeted this saying, "Black activist, hashtag Sasha Johnson, in hospital in critical condition after sustaining a gunshot wound to the head. Nobody should have to potentially pay with their life because they stood up for racial justice." She made this come off as, and she turned off all her comments too because she couldn't take the heat. I don't know why she just didn't delete the post. But she kind of made this pointing towards it being a racial issue when Sasha Johnson was shot by four black men. Four black men came into...
Well, there's four or five suspects.
So, yeah, four or five all black men came into some party that she was at about 3 a.m. There was an altercation, and she was shot in the head by one of them, and one of them apparently sustained a fatal knife wound. Or not a fatal knife wound, but...
In a country where you're not supposed to have guns.
Yeah, London. I don't know, but like I was saying, as always, when something like this happens, Twitter goes wild. There was plenty of tweets, most of them deleted now, saying, oh, the person was probably white. This is a race issue. They came after her because, you know, she is so an outspoken activist. I'm going to get this out of the way, too. I don't see her as an activist because her other tweet, this is this thing that really makes me not sympathize with her, although I do, you know, hope that she gets better.
Yeah, she pulls through.
Yeah, I hope she pulls through, but this is her tweet. Sasha Johnson, the white man will not be our equal, but our slave. History is changing, no justice, no peace. First off,
okay,
what the fuck?
You can't tweet something out like that, right? And this is to all you wannabe activists, and Tristan and I know very well because of what we do. You can't do something like we do or tweet out something like that and not expect for there to be a target on your back, because there will be.
It's
you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's going to be a target on your back. But, I mean, even the fact that this happened due to four other black men, there's really no, until they catch them, they're not going to really have a motive in mind. But how are you going to tweet that? She is not a BLM activist. She's a black supremacist. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah, I thought black, I don't know, I could be very well informed. I thought Black Lives Matter wasn't as well received over in London or the UK as it was here.
I don't know.
I know I've heard a lot of drill songs.
UK drill, yeah.
Like that hate on BLM.
Yeah, and most of the people doing the drills are black. But, so I don't get it. There's a bunch of people, too, that are like, oh, why aren't you standing on her side and all this? Why aren't you, like, they're asking white people why they're not supporting her.
I can support the fact that I hope she pulls through this. I don't think she's officially dead yet. She's in critical condition. Mm-hmm. I hope she survives.
I'm not going to support her as a person, though.
I can still disagree with her politics.
I disagree with her politics.
Crazy how that works, isn't it?
I disagree with her ideology. The fact that BLM started as, you know, an equality perspective, mm-hmm. right? They wanted equality between, like, all the races. I wouldn't say they want equality between all the races. BLM's mainly about the black people being equal to white people. But how are you gonna say that you fight for equality and then post out a tweet that obviously shows black supremacy? You're saying that you want white people as slaves. It just makes no sense to me. So, yeah, I hope she pulls through.
Also, from a numbers standpoint, as of right now, unless you get all the people in Africa to help you, I don't think that could happen. So don't worry about that, anybody who's worried about that.
But yeah, it's just, if you want to be a public figure, like an act. I'm not talking about like a social media influencer, because Sasha,
a controversial public figure.
Yeah, such not, as Sasha Johnson.
Yeah.
Then take Martin Luther King, for example. That's who you should try to be like. You shouldn't be saying that you want slavery back.
No. Not good.
That's like saying, "Oh, we want the Alamo to happen again. We want
Waco to happen again.
Yeah, we want to put the Japanese people, we want to put them in the internment camps again because of Pearl Harbor." It's like saying, what's that one saying? Those who forget history are destined to repeat it.
Those who forget history are doomed to repeat it.
Yes.
I don't remember who said that, because a lot of people say it's Abe Lincoln, but it's not Abe Lincoln. I think he might have quoted it from somebody, though. But yes, it's very true, dude. It's very real. You know what I mean? There's also, honestly, in today's society, we're experiencing something called horseshoe.
George Santayana.
George Santana? Or Santana?
I can't pronounce it. I think he spells, so. Santayana. I'm kind of retarded.
I'm not going to try and pronounce it either. All right, whatever. All right.
Those Sorry, who cannot remember our... the past are condemned to repeat it.
Yep. We are living in a giant example, or at least in America, I feel like.
A giant hypocrisy.
Well, something called horseshoe theory.
What's that?
Horseshoe theory states that the far left and the far right are actually closer in, like, relation than what people want to believe, right? You go so far left, you come back around to far right. You go so far right, you come around to far left. For example... Right, the far left activists and alt left people who were censoring people's speech, that's fascism. Fascism is a far right ideology. That's horseshoe theory. You know what I mean? So you go so far right, you know, what have you, that stuff. And then in the middle you got like independent, and then
libertarian,
quite a little bit to the left, a little bit to the left you got Democrat and Republican, and so on and so forth.
But it's just like nowadays we got so many different like political ideologies. I mean, yeah, you have Republican, Democrat, liberal,
I'm a neoliberal anarcho-capitalist.
You got ANCAPs,
conservatorian.
You got classical liberals. You got all this shit now that, like, a lot of these ideologies didn't start coming up or getting names, at least, until like the last like 20 years.
Something like that. I'm trying to think. Paleoconservatism. Started.
You got paleocon, you got neocon.
Whenever Pat Buchanan was around.
80s?
Yeah, and I don't even think he started it. Yeah, no, I don't get that either. It's paleocon. Like, dude, it's neo pronouns for freaking politics.
Yeah, literally, pretty much. It's God, just. Man. I'm going to say this again. Anarcho capitalist, your whole ideology is a contradiction.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, dude, I'll show you. I'm going to send it to you.
Just explain it to me if you don't mind.
I will. Let me make sure I don't butcher it.
He's ear raping the mic, ladies and gentlemen. He's deep throating his mic right now. Oh, gosh. Oh, Lord. I was going to take your side for this next topic, but now I can't after that.
Oh, wow.
Now I can't. Now I'm just going to be racist.
Yeah, so it's anti-capitalist anarchists generally considered anarcho-capitalism as a contradiction in terms. Anarchists argue that the state is an initiation of force because force can be used against those who have not stolen private property, vandalized private property, assaulted anyone, or committed fraud. That was a terrible definition.
Yeah, what? I'm confused.
I'm bringing it up.
What is an anarcho? See, now even Google doesn't even know what it means. I don't know.
Ew, the Libertarian Institute.
If anybody in the comment section wants to tell me a really weird political ideology, please tell me. Because I always love reading on them. Just because I can get, you know what I mean? Like, I can cringe at them. Like, I don't understand. Like, there's like, isn't there like neo-Austrian?
Dude, yeah.
Like, what is that? What is that? Just call yourself right-leaning. That's what I do. I obviously am more conservative. I just say I'm right-leaning, man. That's all I am. Because not every personal ideology do I have that lines up with everything from a certain group. You know what I mean? Therefore, I'm right-leaning. No, I'm a hardcore nationalist, actually. Hardcore nationalist right here, guys. Tristan's a Tristan's a fascist. He is a he pushes for ethnic homogenous societies.
I'm trying to read and you're being very loud. I cannot focus.
I know it's a struggle.
I can hear the pubes on your face through the mic.
What pubes, boy? If your pubes are this long, you better hit up Manscaped.
I can't even see you right now.
We'll come right back after he's done reading.
So anarcho-capitalist, anarcho-capitalist basically define capitalism. If someone were to use a different definition, like one that requires the existence of a state, then it's easy to see why there might be a contradiction. It's people that use these or use such a definition of capitalism that claim that anarcho-capitalism has contradictions because they're defining the words in ways that deviate from the intended by those proposing the position. This guy cannot type
so at all. So he's saying the reason why you're saying it's contradicting is because you're defining the words for what the words actually mean.
They're changing the definition to
fit which you can't do that.
Yeah, you can't. It's a textbook definition.
What? This is why I hate this stuff.
Anarchy is given a false definition to the premise. Anarchos, as in without a ruler, allows any social structures within the people find themselves which the people find themselves creating. Given that markets will always exist, and indeed, massive government force has been unable to quash the black sort.
Well, if there's anarchy, right? So in order for there to be an actual market, there needs to be rules. Because if there's not rules, what's to stop somebody from, like, monopolizing the market or robbing the freaking market? You know what I mean?
Exactly. So you can't be an anarchist and a capitalist at the same time.
That makes no sense. What?
Anarchism counts.
You know how many people are going to be in the comments like, you don't know what anarcho-capitalist is, what it really means. Please tell us in the comments.
Yeah, I mean, if we're wrong, I'd love to see
how stupid you sound.
I just heard from a bunch of people, and I've been taught by, you know, the great fathers. No, I'm just kidding. But, I mean, you can't be an anarchist and a capitalist. It makes no sense. Anarchism counts on people for an unwavering dedication to a correct behavior scheme governed by a consensual non-aggression principle. Capitalism allows individuals to leverage human weaknesses in order to influence people and break their NAP consensus. The natural setting for capitalism is democracy, as both are based on make-believe.
Where did you just read that from?
Some dude named Alexandre O'Blaren.
Well, that guy definitely hates capitalism.
He definitely fucking hates it.
Then I love how everyone's like, it was like, capitalism only works to exploit people because it exploits people. Let me give like a real side tangent before going to our last thing. Excuse me. Socialism and communism. I know everyone that, honestly, that's not the biggest threat to our country right now, but I will say this. That is truly exploiting people for their work. Because capitalism works off of a profit idea, right? Mm-hmm. You work, you make money, you provide a good or service to people. Again, you get paid for giving that out, right? You know what I mean? Therefore, moving up the economic ladder as you make more money. Well, and if you don't work, right, and you're not productive, you don't get food and you can't survive. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, socialism or communism in the truest form, what a lot of these people are pushing for, universal basic income, or not even UBI, just giving money to people who don't want to work. Everyone gets money regardless of what job they work. You know what I mean? And then everyone gets paid the same. That exploits people because the money that you're going to be making, you're not going to get all of it. You're going to have to give it to some schmuck who doesn't leave his house at all. You know what I mean? Who wakes up, sits on the couch, and sits there collecting money from other people who are doing the work for him. That exploits people.
Oh, my God. I just found the best meme.
What?
You know that meme where the guy's riding the bicycle and he sticks the fucking the stick in the wheel?
Yeah.
So the first one is him sticking in the wheel. Then it's him lying on the ground and saying, fucking commies. And then the next one is, please help me, free market.
It's all a blur, people. It's all just a blur. That's why, like I said, I don't tell people exactly what I am. I do say I'm Christian conservative a lot just because it's majority of what I line up with, and it's easier for people to wrap their head around. But most of the time now, I'm starting to say, like, I'm just right-leaning. It's really what it is. I'm just a right-leaning guy, you know? And I guess that's the easiest thing now for people to comprehend.
So before we move on to our last little talking point, which is going to take up some time, if you guys have any better definition or anything to tell us that anarcho-capitalism is not a contradiction, like how you can be an anarchist and a capitalist at the same time, please comment it down below. Educate us. We're all about being educated too. But as far as I know, that whole ideology is retarded.
Yeah. I'm not calling you retarded, but your ideology is
retarded. Kind of retarded.
Yeah. All right. The last thing, and I want your input on this. Yeah. I want 50% of your input on this. For those of you that don't know, because honestly it is hard to tell, except for maybe the eyes, Tristan is Asian.
I'm Chinese, Asian. Korean, white, and Hawaiian.
Yeah. He is a mutt. He is a mixed breed.
I am a very rare mutt.
I got picked NPR... up at
the Humane Society.
NPR put up some articles called Six Charts That Dismantle the Trope of Asian Americans as a Model Minority. I caught this because on Twitter, Asians was trending. So, listen to this. This is how it starts out. Oh, yeah, this is written definitely. Tell me, Connie Hanzang Jin. Definitely written by an Asian person.
Yeah, she's Chinese, it sounds.
So this is literally how the article starts. Smart, hardworking, nice. Those were among the adjectives that respondents offered up in a recent poll when asked to describe Asian Americans. That's
pretty good.
Pretty good. The poll conducted by the nonprofit Leading Asian Americans to Unite for Change, or LAUNCH with two A's, was another all too familiar reminder that Asian Americans are still perceived as a model minority. Is that a bad thing, to be perceived as a very well-respected, smart, hardworking, and nice person? Because this is essentially what this is going to go into, is this is a bad thing to be viewed as a model minority.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Genuinely, I'm asking you because you are Asian.
So it's like, this was written by an Asian person, right?
Yep.
That's the thing that annoys me, is like, I don't know if Asian people are feeling like maybe they're, I don't know, left out. We are oppressed too. No. It's like, there's nothing wrong with, I mean, if people want to call us being a model minority, because yes, Asian people are, you know, some of the top earners in the country. Yep. I don't get what's wrong with that.
Oh. Since the end of World War II, this myth about Asian Americans and their perceived collective success has been used as a racial wedge to minimize the role racism plays in struggles of other minority groups, such as Black Americans. Okay, it is.
Okay, yep. Now we're literally...
Yep.
This isn't about Asian people. This is about Black people.
And don't get me wrong.
Not being called a model minority.
Yeah, I understand there's a lot of people, and we've talked about stereotypes and how where the actual truth comes from stereotypes, because you get stereotypes from true things, right? Mm-hmm. That's how that works.
Stereotypes were true at one point, and then, you know,
they later still are, on. Yeah, but not for everybody, because you're stereotyping, yeah. You're generalizing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So essentially this is saying, I think, because there are some people out there, is like, why can't Black people be like the Asians or the Indians?
Yeah.
Because I mean, from what I perceive, a lot of the stereotypes of the Asian people are hardworking, smart, big family oriented, you know what
smart,
I mean?
Very educated.
Like I said, like respect your elders, respect people in authority. You know what I mean? These are great traits. And yes, obviously, you know, they take the stereotypes, which are actually stereotypes, for good things, and people make fun of them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, and there are negative stereotypes like bad driving. Well, that's women. It's Asian women. Right?
No, it's all of us.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
It's like me. It's like, I'm an asshole. Like,
well, that's why you drive a big truck.
Yeah, it's like, not talking about driving, but like how whoever's watching this sees me online, I can't act this fucking way in front of my Asian family at all. Like, if I go to a family reunion, I cannot act this way.
Yeah.
I would get beat with a switch or a meter stick or a ruler or a flip-flop, I don't know, chopsticks.
sushi roll. Anyway, so they start going into, because they have six of these, Tristan. There's six charts. Tristan, let me. I'm going to tell you right now, because of this article, you are oppressed. You need to feel oppressed. You are not a model minority. All these good things that people perceive about you, you can't think it. They're bad. You can't be known as nice, hardworking, and smart. You're not supposed to be think that way. All right.
I'm just a hillbilly from the South.
You're supposed to have, because this is what it gives off, right? This is exactly what this gives off, is this idea that you're supposed to think that you're not a good, that opening sounds like you're supposed to think, if you're Asian, I'm not hardworking and I'm not nice and I'm not smart. That's what it sounds like, though.
What's annoying me is how they link it to African Americans, well, black people, Americans, I'm not going to say African Americans. They link it to black people about, they literally just flip this whole entire thing over to black oppression.
Yeah, side
That's
note,
literally all it is.
If you didn't realize, Asian people are not African people. They're not the same.
You sure? I got black ink.
That's blue.
This is black.
Definitely blue.
It's probably just my room. Well, I got a shitty camera.
So, myth number one. Asian Americans are a single monolithic group. Clearly not. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. Well,
I
had
already
no
tell
idea.
This whole article is just going to be fucking atrocious.
I thought Indian people were the same thing as Japanese. Thank you. I did. I never knew that. Groundbreaking. Currently, more than 22 million people of Asian descent live here in the United States, making up approximately 7% of the nation's population. They trace their heritage to different regions around the world because, again, Asia is East Asian, Southeast Asian, so Pacific Islanders, and it says, like, Micronesia, Melanesia, and Polynesia, you know.
Yeah, Samoa,
these are all
Maori.
Asian people. When you're talking about Asian people in general, you have to remember there's actually white Asian people, too, if you technically think about it. Parts of Russia are in Asia.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And then when... East Asians was what typically a lot of people think of. That's what the word Oriental used to mean before people
that's
started
like,
saying you can't say Oriental anymore.
It's like, you think, yeah, Oriental, I don't get what's the problem with it. That's related to us who are Korean, Chinese, Vietnamese.
Yeah, because Asian
Japanese,
people,
it's
Asian
all
people
of
are
that.
Also Indian, by the way. Those are technically Asians.
There are so many, like, ethnicities or races that are considered technically Asian, because you think Asian, you think, you know, like me, Vietnamese, Japanese, stuff like that, but Asia is such a large continent. It's like how there's white people who are from Africa.
Yep, they're African.
They're African.
But more, whatever.
Now, they're not black, but they are African.
Yep.
That's like a common misconception that happens all too often. They're just like, oh, where are you from? I'm from Africa. You're white. And I'm still from fucking Africa.
Yeah. Clearly.
Like that dude with the Burger King hat. He was from West Africa.
Stop. You're going to make me cough. All right. No, again, myth number one. They're not a monolithic group. Thank you, Captain Obvious. Never knew that. Did you know that? I didn't know that.
Man.
It's crazy.
That's wild.
Crazy.
Learn something new every day.
Myth. Asian Americans are high earning and well educated. Asian Americans have a median household income of around $78,000 a year, which is higher than the national median of $66,000. So, your opening sentence of this argument is yes,
is a contradiction.
They are higher earning compared to the rest of the national median. By $12,000.
And that's only the median of 22, what, million Asian, does it say?
Yeah.
That's only the median of 22 million
Asian. By your own
Asian
number
people.
That you put in here, they are high earning. And they're clearly probably well educated because they're making more money than everyone else in the country on the median basis.
Doctor. Oh, my bad, doctor.
Like $78,000 a year is a lot of money, bro.
Yeah.
Especially if you're by yourself, if you're single.
I mean, hell, most of us in trades make...
That's like starting for trades.
Yeah, most of us in trades, that's like starting.
Yeah.
So Asian people are still smart, but I'd rather go roast some shit. However,
that overall statistic obscures large differences among the Asian origin groups. No, you can't say that because you literally just shot yourself. No, this is literally like, this is like, okay, you're in a boat, right?
I just shot myself.
Yeah, you took the cannon and you shot a hole through the bottom of the boat, and now you're like, why are we sinking?
Help me, free market.
Help me, free market. It's like, why are we sinking? Well, anyway. Obviously, so then they give this chart going all the way up to 140K median household income, 8 Indians up there, whatever. And then, like, between the 80 to 108 range, you got Japanese, Indonesian, Pakistani. Oh, yeah, Middle East is also part Asian, too.
Well, how are you gonna make a claim that such thing is a myth from a minority group when their median income is larger than the majority? It makes no sense.
Indian American, which, remember, Indians are technically Asian, so they are Asians. Mm. Households are the highest earning group with a median household income of $127,000 a year.
And they're Asian. That's so. Oh my fucking.
There's only like a couple groups that are Asian that are below the median average.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like Burmese, Nepalese, which all, by the way, are some of the smallest in the country.
Asian like countries.
Groups. Yeah, smallest groups in the country, the ones that live here. So, yes, clearly you're going to have people who live on the below average. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, the educated thing, by the way, almost 80% of all Indians over the age of 25 have a bachelor's degree. So the education thing's true.
It's like, I'm going to be honest. All throughout school, the only fucking stupid Asian person I ever met throughout my whole entire school career, middle school, high school, elementary school, the only stupid Asian person I met was myself. Other than that, all the other Asian people, like, in the class, like, they knew. Like, I would cheat off of them. They were cool. They'd give me their homework and everything. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're Asian, too. But, they're literally all smart. And, yeah, it's due to the fact that their parents value education a lot more than the traditional American household.
Yep. Myth. Here's the next myth. Asian Americans immigrate to the U.S. in the right, quote-unquote, right way. More than half of those who identify as Asian American and at least 17% of Pacific Islanders were born outside the U.S. The Asian American community has the highest proportion of immigrants of any ethnic or racial group in the United States. Yet, Asian Americans are often overlooked in debates about immigration reform.
The reason why we have the highest amount of immigration coming in is because we do it the legal way.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why they're not brought up is because, unless you just didn't realize, it's a lot harder to come across a full body of water
than a border.
Than crossing from a farm in Mexico to a farm in America. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that insert stereotypical Asian name wasn't able to take his freaking 2x4 raft across the freaking Pacific Ocean into California.
You don't have much options when it comes to immigration for Asian people. You literally only have the option to do it the right way.
Exactly.
I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, yeah, you could hop on a cargo freighter, but...
Let's see. Why? Oh. Plus, I'd like to look up. Let's look up the statistic, actually. I was about to say it. Let's see. Largest illegal immigrant... Which race has the most illegal immigrants? Oh, by the way, they are illegal, so you can't exactly document them. They don't exist. They don't exist. That's from 2020. I mean, that's from 2019. Let's see here. There's a bunch of foreign-born. Yes, we know. What is the legal status of immigrants? Most immigrants, 77%, are in the country legally. Okay, cool. Let's see. Where do immigrants come from? The most come from, oh, wouldn't you know, Top five countries of birth for immigrants in the U.S. in 2018 in millions. 11.2 million from Mexico, 2.9 million from China, 2.9 from India, 2 million from Philippines. So
did she just even if you
add those up, even if you add those three Asian countries up, guess what still has more immigrants coming in?
Cambodia.
Totally.
Mexico.
Ridiculous, man.
You say 11.9?
Huh?
Say 11.9?
Million Mexicans as of 2018. I'm pretty sure those are lawful.
So did she just not do, like, any research? Is this, like...
Here we go. So it says, a large number of Asians in America are unauthorized immigrants. Out of the top 10 most common origin countries for unauthorized immigrants in the U.S., an estimated 1 million people came from India, China, and the Philippines. Right? Added those together. Guess where 5,572,000 came from?
Cambodia.
Exactly. No, Mexico. The top three are all the countries that are to our direct south. So even then, Asian Americans, technically speaking, by the numbers, yes, Asian Americans or immigrants coming from Asian countries do migrate a legal way. According to the numbers. Why do I say that? Because 5 million alone come from Mexico. Almost 6 million. That was of 2018.
That's crazy. And you already know it's been a hell of a lot more since then.
This is on NPR.
Is it?
Who let this slide on NPR? Like, I get their left-leaning and they have their fair share of bogus, but, like, this is... Dude, this is some smooth brain stuff for NPR. Like, smooth brain.
Well, what's the next myth?
Asian Americans face less systematic racism and discrimination. I get that one. Yeah, but I will
that's true.
In all honesty, I say it kind of comes in waves, I feel like.
I feel like it's more like, you know, kind of like a situational thing of like something that happens, you know, like in our timeline, something happens, boom, 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 then it starts happening again. But yeah, I can agree with that one, that they aren't more systemically oppressed. Because obviously systemic oppression is...
Since the coronavirus,
another topic, but
yeah. Since go ahead.
And yeah, what's going on with the Asian hate crimes? That's not systemic oppression.
No, since the coronavirus pandemic started, hate crimes and violence against Asian Americans have increased. There was a survey done by the Pew Research Center. 32% of Asian American adults, a greater percentage than any other racial or ethnic group, said that they feared someone might have threatened or physically attacked them.
So
that's bad. Mm-hmm. But again, let's look at, we said yesterday, we were talking about the World War II internment camps.
Yeah, well, I was literally just about to talk about that. Like you said, it comes in waves. Think about, you know, the Asian people, when they weren't wanted here, they were forced. The only work they could find was to build the railroad. Then you have I know there's a lot more, but these are the major ones that I know. Mm-hmm. The Japanese World War II internment camps. When that one, they just took any person who had slanted eyes and fucking threw them in an internment camp. And then now...
Imagine somebody who had to have facial reconstruction surgery that wasn't Asian. Had to pull up their skin by, like, right here. I'm not even Asian, dog.
And then now, in this century... COVID.
Yeah.
The attacks on them because of, you know, China. And, you know, they started COVID and all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the next one?
Asian Americans are fairly represented in leadership positions.
Wait, say that again?
The myth is that Asian Americans are fairly represented in leadership positions. I wouldn't even say... Hold on. No. I wouldn't even say... I've never once heard somebody say that, Asians are completely fairly represented. I've never heard somebody say that.
Mm-mm.
And I don't want to say that because I feel like... I don't know. I've never heard... Maybe the Asian community does complain about that. I don't know. Never heard... of it before. Mostly just been, if it is, it's being absolutely choked out and suffocated by the black people who aren't represented in leadership positions.
Yeah.
You know where Asian people are represented in, though? Or represented in?
Represented in?
Thank you. Represented in? Doctors. Obviously very high-earning jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Silicon Valley. Asian people go after, like we just said, and, you know, it's a very, the parents are very, into education. They want you to have a higher education. They want you to get a good job. Very like, you know, even their education, like their idea on education is very family oriented. A lot of Asian people, a lot of Asian kids, they don't see their parents as being harsh when they want them to do, you know, their homework, study hard and all this. They just can realize they're like, yeah, they want me to get a good job. And you know what normally happens? They get a pretty damn good job.
Yeah. It says Asian Americans are the most politically underrepresented group. Is it maybe, like you said, maybe because not a lot of Asian people want to go into politics?
Yeah, a lot of Asian people. Maybe they want
to go to Silicon Valley and make $200,000 a year within their first working year.
It's not so much that they don't want to get into politics. Well, yeah, I will say that we don't want to get into politics, but it's more that we don't care. Like, a lot of, literally a lot of Asian people, like, you can tell just from older Asian people, Asian families, a lot of them, their happiness is a lot higher because they really, they have goals. They focus on what's going to affect their own life. They stop caring about what's really going on around them unless it's a direct effect or directly affects them. And so, I mean, we're just hard, man.
I think that was the last one. I think what this looks like, dude, is almost like they're trying to get the Asian community upset. I don't know. I could be wrong.
I don't know if they're trying to make it so Asian people think they're more oppressed than, I mean, yeah, right now, you know, Asian hate crimes, that's, they're being attacked unfairly over something that really they had no part in. Right.
Really bad. I don't like that.
I don't agree with that in any way. I worry about my family, like my older grandma, she, like her going out. Right. But then again, she's in Seattle. Seattle's a very predominantly large Asian community, same as San Francisco, so I don't really have to worry about her that much.
I wonder where all these hate crimes are occurring at, too. And I'm not saying that sarcastically, genuinely, where the majority of them are coming from.
I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just, I feel like that was, I don't know. That article is super weird.
Belittling a little bit, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it was belittling. There was a lot of misinformation. Two, they opened it up with a comparison to black people.
Yeah, spoiler alert, Asian people aren't the same as black people.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know if they were, it almost makes it seem like they want to bring the tier of Asian people, like the societal tier, down to what they view African American, I keep saying African Americans, black Americans at.
Yeah.
And I don't, that's just a super weird fucking article and I don't like it.
Yeah, and I'm surprised it passed NPR.
That's just super bizarre, especially if it was written by an Asian person. Which she has to be way on the left because
I don't know. Let's click her Twitter, shall we?
Go for it.
Connie Graphics NPR. Oh, can you get to Twitter?
Oh, they're watching TV or some shit. I was like, what the fuck? Get to Twitter, you said?
Can you get to Twitter?
Yeah, I got it on my phone. All what are you looking up, or what do I need to
do? C-O-N-N.
C-O-N-N.
J-I-E.
Connie Jin. 829 followers. My latest. A data-driven piece debunking the model minority myth that Asian Americans are a single monolithic group, are high-earning, well-educated. Oh, my God.
It's got charts, text, and illustrations by me. Yeah, well, she's got the
If the illustrations are by you, then your graphs don't mean shit. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, man. Yeah, it all makes sense now.
So we, NPR's digital media division. So I think she works with NPR.
Yeah, she's on their visual team. Well, that was that article. That was really weird. I have mixed feelings.
That's so bizarre. Like, she had one thing that was actually, yes, factual.
Yeah.
Or, like, one or two. One and a half. But she It's just, that's such a bizarre article. Way too much misinformation. Comparison to other minority groups. Trying to make it so, I feel like it seems like she's almost trying to get Asian people on her side or get a, like, reaction out of Asian people. Yeah. I might be wrong, but that's what I'm getting from it.
Yep. That's all we got for today, man. We kept it, trying to keep it under a little shorter. It's under an hour. Hopefully you guys will like that one. We're trying to get back in a normal schedule. We appreciate y'all, man. And hey, we'll see y'all on the next one where I'm probably going to talk about the next episode, Biden's $6 trillion budget proposal.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting.
So just stay tuned for that one, man. Should come out Wednesday of next week. And with that being said, it's been Fatty. That's Red Boy. We'll see y'all on the next one. Deuces.